Families in our region face hunger every day. The COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting economic distress has increased demands on the local food bank system to an unprecedented level. Blake Young, CEO of the Sacramento Food Bank, and River City Food Bank Executive Director Amanda McCarthy join us to discuss hunger in our region and what resources are available for those in need. In a recent letter, Amanda, that someone who utilized your services sent to your organization, this individual wrote the following: COVID-19 has been the most stressful and humbling event of our lives. My husband and I have four children, 17, 13, 8, and 6. We work in industries that have been hard hit in the pandemic. And sadly, we didn't have a large savings to see us through. We finally got to the point where we had a negative bank balance, had maxed out our credit cards, an empty pantry and fridge. The panic washes over you as a parent when you don't know how you're going to provide food for your children, and it's soul crushing. The thoughts that run through your mind when you are desperate are horrifying. What can we sell? The car. My wedding ring. I took a deep breath and Googled food banks. River City Food Bank was the one closest to our home. And they said I didn't need to bring anything but myself. Amanda, that story really tugs at your heartstrings if you've got a heart at all. Tell us how that individual and the circumstances she and her family were facing are being replicated time and time again for the people that you serve.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, because I think that letter is truly representative of so many people that we're seeing right now. And I actually choked up a little bit while you were reading it. You know, we are seeing record numbers of people from the community that need help with food. And we've seen about a 32% increase overall, but the reality is we're seeing families for the very first time. People like the family you just referred to, who were doing fine before the pandemic, and then all of a sudden they've lost income, they've lost jobs. Parents are now at home trying to figure out how they're going to provide meals for kids that used to get them at school. It's very challenging. There's a lot of uncertainty, and families are really seeking out services for the very first time. They need food assistance now more than ever.
Blake, I'm curious, realizing that your work spans multiple types of programs, tell us what's different at this moment for you and your team in terms of how you're providing your services and what's being impacted the most.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't say what a great job Amanda did in articulating what we see every day. Just in terms of the people coming to us for services. Yes, that letter did rip at my soul as well. Uncertainty is the word that we use a lot. I mean, just simply because I think some people forget that frontline workers that are trying to provide these services are at risk every day. And we have Amanda's team, my team. We have over 200 agencies that we supply food to throughout the county. So you have hundreds of staff members that are trying out in the community to modify their operation, modify their distributions to make sure that people are safe and the volunteers and the staff that are providing those services try to remain safe. And on top of that, we're trying to make sure that the families that come to us remain safe as well. What Amanda said holds true as well. I've never in my 25 years seen so many brand new people. This letter that you read is a complete mirror to so many folks that we see. It strikes me every day that so often folks are coming not only for the first time, but that had full-time employment, that COVID-19 has impacted them greatly. And the relationships that we have built, Amanda and I both, with the community has allowed us to be able to provide these services. But you have so many people stressed to the maximum. And now with us going back into a tier that's going to close things down again, Amanda and I both know that the need for our services for folks, again, who traditionally didn't use us, are going to need us for a long time.
I'm curious, in terms of, Amanda, when you look at these people who have never been to the food bank before and are coming to you, you hear the reticence in this individual's voice, even through just the words rather than on the page, that I don't really want to do this because I'm embarrassed, I'm afraid.
That's right.
What do you say for the folks that are joining us right now? What do you say to them if they're really in need?
I say you are welcome and you will never be judged. No matter what the circumstances, we will welcome you with open arms. You will get healthy, nutritious food for yourself and your family at River City Food Bank. And I know a lot of the other organizations out there, our goal is to treat people with dignity, compassion, and respect, and provide help. Families are really struggling to figure out, how to make ends meet. I know people are facing things such as housing issues. If they can't afford to pay their rent, what's going to happen long term? Is homelessness people are facing. So our goal, is to help people leverage those dollars that they may have put toward food and use them to do things, pay rent, pay utilities, childcare, their bills. And we would like them to come to us to fill the need for food for their family or get help with CalFresh. We want to make sure that people have those benefits and resources. And again, we would never ask for proof of income or ID. We're not here to judge anything. This is a pandemic. We're all going through it for the very first time. To Blake's point, all of us, our staff, we're essential workers. We're on the front lines and we're here because we care. We want to help the community. Our neighbors have never needed us more. So we welcome anybody and everybody with open arms. This is really the most trying time our community has ever faced. And we want to be here to support them with open arms.
Blake, where's all the food going to come from with this sort of demand?
Well, we've been blessed in the community, particularly the Sacramento community, has been really, really good about providing the resources, the funding. The issue becomes sustainability, right? I mean, before COVID hit, our network, which Amanda and I are part of, we're feeding 150,000 people per month. Now we're pushing towards 300,000.
300,000?
300,000. And, what most folks don't understand is Sacramento, with all its bounty and farm to fork capital of the universe, has a higher food insecurity rate than the national and state average. So we have folks in our community that are suffering from hunger at greater levels. And then if you just took the number of folks in Sacramento County that qualified for CalFresh, that number would double. So not only do we have a pandemic on our hands, we have a crisis on our hands. We've had a crisis for quite some time. And now just with COVID, the crisis has been elevated. But you ask a very specific question, where is the food going to come from? Well, it comes from farms, it comes from grocers, it comes from manufacturers. Most people think that we deal in all donated food. That's not true. We spend millions of dollars a year on providing food because the old traditional food bank and food program way, as you did community guys, were wonderful. You gave canned food away. And now 42% of all food that we distribute to the agencies and families is produce. It's fresh, it's perishable, it's wonderful product. But obviously in our network, because that's just been a switch in the last 10 years, capacity in the network becomes an issue. So the network's stressed to the max. Folks like Amanda are seeing double their numbers. At the same time, we're going back into a tier that is going to ask folks that are vulnerable, maybe seniors 65 and above, to stay home. So most of our network, the volunteers, are that age because they have time to give back. So in the short term, I don't believe we're going to have a food shortage. We're doing our best to make sure that doesn't happen. Long term, we're very concerned because back in 2008, our analysis from the recession was that our numbers really never went down. And this is 10 times as worse. So we do believe that all these people Amanda and I are talking about that have never needed food before are going to need these resources. And then folks that have needed us, homebound seniors, school-aged children, they're going to need it even more. So sustainability really becomes the concern.
And Amanda, what do you think?
We are so grateful to have such an amazing partner in Sacramento Food Bank. We also are, you know, continuing to get donations, but we're purchasing more food than we ever have. Unfortunately, we've had to suspend food drives, which is historically a really important way for us to get food from the community, but it's a safety issue right now. We can't afford to have all those cans coming in that have been touched by community members. We just don't really have a safe way to sanitize and store them. So like Sacramento Food Bank, River City Food Bank is also purchasing more food than we ever have. And we also make giving healthy food a priority. So about 50% of everything we offer to our guests on any given day is going to be fresh produce. So we're thrilled that the USDA has supported a program that will allow us to really provide those fresh fruits and vegetables. And we're really fortunate to work with Blake and through Farm to Family be able to access those because, you know, people really need access to healthy and nutritious products so that they can, you know, grow and thrive and make sure their families have really healthy options right now.
You know, you mentioned about not being able to really use food drives the way that you used to. I'm curious, how has COVID-19 affected your ongoing operations and even your staffing right now?
We have completely pivoted. We've completely changed the way that we distribute food. And I know a lot of other organizations are also facing operational challenges. So things like fewer volunteers. We have, to Blake's point, a number of volunteers who are a little bit older and really can't safely come in and volunteer anymore. We've also had to decrease the number of volunteers we can have in our building at any given time. We want to make sure we are, you know, keeping and prioritizing the safety and health of our staff and our community as well. So we've cut back the number of people that are coming in. We have also had to transition our distributions to outside. Pre-COVID, we welcomed people to come in. We created a shopping experience based around our signature choice model. But now we don't have the ability to do that again because of safety. So we're prepackaging food. We're distributing the food outside. We're essentially working with fewer volunteers, less resources, higher expenses, and serving more people. It's truly been quite a year so far, but we're really fortunate to have the amazing support of our community that really help us to continue doing that.
Blake, I'm curious, when we think about the hungry, one population that immediately comes to mind are children. And with schools in these stop-start modes of, you know, some folks go back to school or some kids go back to school. Some kids or some districts are doing fully distance learning. We've had changes in terms of the COVID levels, where it is that we can't go to school. How are you all and the network dealing with getting kids the nutrition they need when they're not able to go into campus, particularly within the city regions?
Well, for folks that are watching this, I mean, it may come to surprise that the largest group of people that we serve are children under the age of 18. As gut-wrenching as that sounds, it's true. And so, you know, what we have done, again, there's an emergency food network, and we're positioned all over the county. And some organizations focus on children, seniors, families. What we've tried to do is during the pandemic is focus on working with the school districts. And because they already have an infrastructure in place, and we're trying not only to piggyback on the school lunch or reduced meal program, by providing the families that bring their children for the meal to provide them groceries. There's a lot of innovative programs out there right now that are trying to focus on childhood hunger. But I don't think most people realize that A, that's our biggest population of folks in need, and B, again, childhood hunger in Sacramento County is higher than the state and national average. So, you know, our motto or philosophy is a more well-nourished community is a more productive community. And all of us know that people that suffer from hunger, as Amanda alluded to, have production productivity issues. I mean, a child going to school is going to have a hard time focusing on his schoolwork. Now, overlay the pandemic, what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of families, a ton of single moms that mom may have worked in the service industry. She's home. She doesn't have the income she has anymore. She has three children at home. When children are home all day, they're hungrier. We all know it. We've raised kids. They're not in school, they're home. And so the stress levels of not just single moms, but families in general that are trying to raise these beautiful children and have a difficult time, even putting three decent meals together. I mean, you start to think, well, wow, what does this look like a year from now?
Now, did either of your agencies receive any assistance through any of the previous CARES Act or any other of the state and local level programs to help meet this tremendous need that you're dealing with right now?
Well, we Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services has received, and Amanda can speak to what River City has, but we've received several funding streams through the CARES Act. So first we received some county funding and city funding that is strictly CARES funding that will be utilized to purchase food. That is strictly CARES funding. Amanda and I both, and food banks all across the nation have received help from the federal government, the United States Department of Agriculture, through the state to the counties, to the individual food programs, what you call farm to family boxes. We've also just recently received additional CARES funding. What the federal government, the state, and the Office of Emergency Services with food banks in partnership are really recognizing that the demand is so high and there's product out there, but that movement and that connection is what they've really done well. So we've received food donations through the CARES Act, and we have received financial funding through the CARES Act, all of which will be spent on providing food throughout the network.
Amanda, if the government going into the season we're in right now could do anything else for you, what's the message that they need to hear?
Keep supporting hunger relief efforts locally, statewide, nationally. You know, even if the economy were to just improve tomorrow, which it won't, but even if it were, the reality is that people have experienced such hardship and such uncertainty and such change that the pandemic is going to be with us for some time. So if someone has lost a job, it's going to take some time for them to find new employment and sort of get through this period between now and then. So, you know, I did want to go back to something Blake said about children. We also, more than 50% of the clients and the guests that we serve are kids as well. And, you know, we've got a couple of programs where we deliver food out into the community. We work with low-income schools and charter schools. And pre-pandemic, we were really delivering healthy and shelf-stable snacks and things that were very specific to kids. But now that they're home and doing distance learning, what we know is that the entire family needs help. So we've also tried to completely readjust the way that we're thinking about programs and service to the community, knowing that it's the entire household that's struggling and trying to figure out, you know, what to do in these times. So, you know, kids are a huge part of that, and they drive a lot of our decisions because they are such a big part of the people that we serve.
And what about for seniors? You know, seniors who have limited mobility or are completely shut in. How is the infrastructure working in getting your products and services out to them?
Well, it's completely been modified because of COVID, because we're encouraging folks that are above the age of 65 to stay home. So it's actually created some opportunities for us. We have partnered with paratransit because they obviously, what they do is move folks with disabilities, and that the volume of people being moved right now has really gone through the ground. So we luckily with Tiffany Fink and her team at paratransit, we have teamed up, and our senior program, we are getting food to paratransit, and they are literally delivering it door by door. And that again opened, I mean, again, there's a huge population of seniors that were already homebound, that suffered from whatever disability or illness or just age in general. We were trying to get food to them with various degrees of success. But now, actually, this has opened the door to really think through this type of program. And we believe we can, after the pandemic has settled down, we're interested in expanding that specific program to get more homebound seniors deliveries of fresh and nutritious food.
I'm curious, Amanda, with the suspension of the donation program, for many of us who consider that to be, you know, just a part of what we do, and that's, you know, families, that's churches, that's, and we realize that they're by and large shut down as well, at least in terms of live services. But there are a lot of folks who support the work that you and Blake and everyone else in the network does. What is it we can do? Because until we had this conversation, I didn't realize that you weren't able to accept any more donations, at least in the way that you traditionally have.
Right. Well, you know, your support has never been more important. And, you know, a few different things. We still need volunteers. We cannot do our work. We cannot exist without those helping hands. So there's a lot of opportunities for folks who are healthy and able to come in and help us package and distribute food to our community. So that's always an opportunity that's available. We also, we're leading efforts around virtual food drives this year. And to be honest with you, every dollar counts. We are purchasing more food than we ever have. And while it may not seem, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, a dollar or $5 doesn't seem like that much, but if we get a dollar or $5 from a lot of people in the community, it really allows us to purchase some really great stuff. And because we are buying in bulk and purchasing in bulk, we really get great deals. And we really strive to provide the types of food that we know our neighbors need. For instance, one of our sites is in Arden Arcade, and we serve a large population of refugee families. And we want to be very culturally sensitive. So we're looking for things like halal meat, for instance. You know, and we are looking for what do kids need most? What do seniors need most? So really every dollar makes a difference. RiverCityFoodBank.org. There's a way to give virtually. Again, a dollar, $5. There's lots of volunteer opportunities. And of course, follow the work that we're doing. Follow the things that are happening in Sacramento through both of our organizations and so many others that are working so hard right now to make sure people are fed.
Blake, I'd ask you the same question. How do we support your efforts and that for the network that you help sustain?
Well, Amanda articulated it well. I hit on a couple key points. One, volunteers. I mean, we try to provide a meaningful experience. We are a little bit different in that we are trying to supply food to the 220 agencies. So there's about 30 million pounds of food going through our warehouse a year. And that requires a tremendous amount of volunteer support to package and move the food to the agency. We also, because there's such a huge hunger gap in our efforts, we as a regional food bank still maintain our direct client service programs. During the pandemic, we have set up two very large scale drive-through distributions, one in the north, one in the south, to take a little bit of pressure off the network. And those require a tremendous amount of volunteers. If you've ever gone out to one of these, we feed about 4,000 people in 2 hours. So it takes a tremendous amount. And then financial donations. I'd be remiss not to say for every dollar you give to Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, we can produce 5 meals. And that's an incredible multiplier. It's because, like Amanda said, we use volunteer labor. We do get donated product. But, you know, 5 meals for a buck, it's an incredible community return on community investment. So, you know, volunteers and financial support right now are probably the two best ways. You can also register for Run to Feed the Hungry. We're really hoping that the community goes out and participates with that. But at the end of the day, like Amanda said, follow our work. A more well-fed community is a more productive community. It's a less crime community. It's a more happy community. And I really do believe with all my heart that if people, children, seniors, families are better and well-nourished, we're going to have a better community. That's just the bottom line. So the work is really important. So follow us. Follow what we're doing. Get involved.
And I think we'll leave it there. Thanks to you both. And good luck. You're helping out so many people, and we can all play a part in helping you to deliver that much needed food to families throughout the region. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.